so much, Eric. It's Bill Lapp and it's Wendy Snyder. On Fridays, we talk to Alexander Zalbin. He is the managing editor of Decider.com. He helps us all decide exactly what we should and shouldn't be watching on TV. Alex, how are things? Everything all right?
So good. Busy TV weekend, so I'm very excited to delve into it and chat about it.
I'm looking at all the highlights coming up. Let's start out with a show. Now, I didn't realize that this show was a musical, but it has been described that way. Tell me about Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
So, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, it is a musical about depression. Hooray! But it's one of the best shows on TV. It comes back for its final season starting tonight at 9 p.m. on the CW. It's fantastic. It's created by or co-created by this woman named Rachel Bloom, who's very funny. Every episode, they have several completely original musical numbers that they perform. A lot of them are dealing with her mental state and her depression. There's a big plot twist that happened at the end of last season where she may or may not be going to jail at the beginning of this season. So if you haven't gotten on board before, this is definitely a great time to jump in, even for the last season. It's ridiculous. It's over the top. It's fun. It's like nothing else on TV.
Can we get the earlier episodes on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon?
Yeah, I believe they're all streaming on Netflix, and they're short seasons since the CW. They tend to do about 13-episode seasons, so it's easy to jump into and get caught up, and I highly recommend it. You won't be sorry.
Alex, I like when a show not only knows but tells the viewers that it's the last season, because it's kind of a way to tie up any loose ends. You know, if you've kind of been hanging on, mm-hmm. You go, well, I like the show, I like the characters, I want to see where they end up. Talk about the dynamic. What goes on behind the scenes when a show knows it's going to be the last year? It happened last year with The Middle. It's happening this year with mm-hmm. Modern Family. What goes on behind the scenes when everyone knows it's the last season?
Well, like you said, it really gives them a very clear ending point. Particularly for a show like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, they went into it with a four-season plan. They arced out the entire thing. Certainly, there's different places that it went. There's one actor that they're actually not able to bring back for the last season, so they're recasting him and making that part of the plot. So things change as you go on, right? But ultimately, if you know where the character is going to end up, that gives you a place to aim for. That gives you emotional arcs to plan out, plot arcs to plan out. And overall, I think it makes the show that much better. It also gives people, I think, behind the scenes an expectation, because a surprise cancellation is never fun. People end up out of a job. They don't know what they're going to do next, versus something like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. People have enough advance notice. They can say, hey, I'm on this show through the fourth season. After this, I will be free. Yeah. I would love to audition for this. I would love to work on this crew, etc. So overall, it's just a much better way of working things.
Agreed.
All right. I watched the premiere of The Walking Dead, and I'm just curious if the ratings went up. I know that season, or the last two seasons, people were jumping off The Walking Dead ship. How did it do with its reboot?
Well, I have some very bad news and some better news for you on that front. The very bad news is just in terms of people who purely watch the premiere on TV, it went terribly. It was actually 47% down from the season 8 premiere. So that's very much not good news at all for The Walking Dead, particularly when I thought it was a very good episode and a return to form. But on the other end of the spectrum, AMC has this app, a streaming app, AMC Premiere, where they have all of their shows on there. They put the premiere of Walking Dead up 24 hours early, and I don't have exact figures for that. They haven't released them, but apparently it was record sign-ups for the app. So even if Walking Dead isn't working on TV in the same way right now, people are still watching it. They are still talking about it, and it is driving those streaming numbers. So despite what some haters of the show may think, it's not quite dead yet.
And the reason I bring this up is because you and Bill were talking about announcing that it's the final season. They're announcing that this is Rick's final time with, you know, everyone. I thought he was going to lose it the first episode, but I guess they're going to string you along a while. But I almost didn't want to know. I mean, they're mm-hmm. It was released. I understand that, but I don't need to know it's Rick's final season.
It's definitely, like we talked about last week, a way of them driving tune in. Even though we saw this fall for the season 9 premiere, I think whenever the episode is where they say this is Rick's final episode, and for better or for worse, they'll be pretty open about that, that's probably going to drive huge numbers for people wanting to find out how he leaves. And in terms of the long-term prospects of the show, AMC is all in on it. They're all in on Walking Dead. They're all in on Fear the Walking Dead. They're even talking about other spinoffs and movie iterations and other things. So Walking Dead will continue far beyond Rick Grimes, even if the ratings aren't quite up to snuff.
Can I throw an idea at you, Alex?
Mm-hmm.
This is for ratings.
Absolutely.
We do a crossover, one crossover episode, Walking Dead and This Is Us. You have Zombie Jack. You have Zombie William.
Oh, I love
all your favorite
it.
Characters. They come back as zombies. What do you think?
Love it. We can call it This Is Dead or
Whoa,
Walking Us.
You guys do something with that.
All right.
I also want to promote a new show. My girlfriend Lisa Nelson will be writing for it with Michael Kudlitz, who was Abraham on The Walking Dead. It's called The Kids Are All Right, and it's debuting Tuesday. I can't wait to see it on ABC. It's like a 1970s ensemble comedy, a traditional Irish Catholic family, many kids. The trailer looks super funny. I can't wait to see it.
I'll mention I've actually seen the premiere of that show, and it's super charming. I went in kind of feeling like, oh, this is just like Wonder Years, except set in the 1970s with a Catholic family. But about halfway through the episode, it finds its groove. And as you mentioned, Michael Kudlitz is great. He's shaved his mustache from Walking Dead, and I really thought it was Sean Astin for about half the pilot because they look exactly the same. But it becomes charming, and the family is great together, and the cast is great. Congratulations to your fan. It's a lot of fun.
I can't wait to see it.
Alex, what do you know about a show called The Romanoffs? All I know is the people behind it are very, very talented, the people producing it and starring in it, but what can you tell us about it? It starts tonight, I think, Romanoffs.
Well, this premiered the first two episodes, and I say episodes loosely because they're each an hour and a half long on Prime Video today. It's created by Matt Weiner, who is the creator of Mad Men. It's his first series since he left Mad Men. And the cast is superb. It includes Aaron Eckhart and Diane Lane, Corey Stoll, Paul Reiser. I could go on forever. The idea of the show is a bunch of people who either claim or think they are descendants of the Romanov family from Russia. But it's very loose. It's an anthology show. It deals more with how we see our roots and how our lineage affects us. I got to tell you, I've seen the first three episodes, and we've discussed it quite a bit here in the office. It's beautifully filmed and incredibly well acted, but a very frustrating series to watch, just because of some of the plot choices that they make. They don't feel quite as strong as they could have. But if you are looking for something lush and very different and very interesting, if you are into the history of the Romanovs at all, I actually even recommend skipping to the second episode and then going back to the first episode before you get into it.
Wow, I've never heard of that tactic before, but I'd try that. That's interesting. Alexander Zeldin.
Go on.
What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say they're basically like separate movies, so there's no real plot following. Oh. And you can jump in wherever you want.
Oh, all right. Alexander Zeldin's our guest, managing editor over at Decider.com. If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. Our guest is Alexander Zeldin. He is the managing editor of Decider.com. Decider.com is the website to visit if you love your television. Alexander, there's another comic book show, but this one, I'm guessing, from what I'm reading, doesn't sound like it's geared toward kids at all, but more adults. It's called Titans. Is it based on Teen Titans?
It is, in fact, specifically on the new Teen Titans series from way back in the day from DC Comics. This is the first live-action show from DC's new DC Universe streaming service. There's a separate streaming service that you have to subscribe to all on its own. It includes lots of awesome legacy material, all the Superman movies, most of the Batman movies, animated shows. But this is their first original live-action show, and there is cursing, there's violence, there's sex. If you have kids who have watched Teen Titans Go, never show this to
them. Oh, really?
Ever. Yeah, it's extremely adult and extremely graphic, particularly even beyond what you might expect from the CW superhero shows, Arrow, The Flash, etc. It's definitely their way of saying, hey, this is something we can do with the DC Comics characters, but only on streaming. That said, if you are a fan of the characters, Robin is played by Brenton Thwaites. Anna Diop, a superb actress, plays Starfire. She's fantastic on the show. I got to tell you, I've seen the first couple, and I was a little mixed on it because grim, dark superheroes is not exactly my thing. But once the team starts to come together, which is about episode 3, and I should mention this is broadcast on a weekly schedule instead of bingeable, it starts to get a little fun. The actors work really well off of each other, and the effects are surprisingly good given that this is their first streaming show. So don't show it to kids. Anybody else who is a fan of the characters, if you're curious, you might want to check it out.
Is this influenced at all by the success of Riverdale, where they took the Archies characters and juiced them up a little bit? Is that kind of along the same lines?
Well, it does have some of the same behind-the-scenes talents. Greg Berlanti, who produces basically every single show on TV, he is one of the producers behind Riverdale. He is one of the three creators of Titans. But if anything, I do think this is them responding to, hey, here's all the stuff that we can't do on the CW. Let's do it on our streaming service instead. And to their credit, the new Teen Titans series by Marv Wolfman and George Perez, I think, was very adult for its time. There was a lot, you know, not graphic stuff like this, but there were a lot of very adult situations that were dealt with in the comic book, and I believe that's what they're trying to channel here.
Halloween is coming up, and Bill, you and I were talking about The Haunting. I got it confused with The Haunting of Hull House, but The Haunting of Hill House, there was a movie originally, right?
That there was a movie called The Haunting of Hell House with Roddy McDowell, but I think that this version is different. This is Hill House, right? The new one?
Yeah, we've actually been joking around the office about making a flowchart of what should you watch, The Haunting of Hill House, Hill House, or The Hills on MTV, and just tell people what to watch. But this is based on the original Shirley Jackson novel from 1959. It's on Netflix today, 10 episodes. It's directed and created by Mike Flanagan, who's been making a real name for himself in terms of horror. He did Gerald's Game, which is great on Netflix, and Ouija, Origin of Evil. And this is about, it takes place in two different timelines, sort of like It in a way, where a family moves into this house. There's weird, horrific things going on, and then years later they deal with the repercussions of that when they return to the house. And the folks around the office who have seen it, first of all, say it's great. It starts a little slow, but the family dynamics are wonderful. And what I've heard from folks, I haven't actually had a chance to check it out myself, is that it's one of the first TV shows, not just on Netflix, but in the history of TV, that is legitimately scary on an episode-by-episode basis.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, I'm really looking
forward to it. The only show that's really scaring me is Rachel Ray.
God, Bill, you are so mean. And there was a movie called The Haunting from years ago that was based on this Hill House thing, and I just know that scared the hills out of me. It really did.
Yeah.
All right, so that's on
Netflix. I was at New York Comic Con, and they showed off a couple of scenes at the Netflix panel, and just watching those scenes and hearing 6,000 people get quiet and then scream at the same time was delightful.
Oh, excellent.
I cannot wait. Good. That begins tonight?
It's on right now. If you want to jump in for a spooky good
Wendy,
time, you
back.
Can start watching it right
Wendy
now.
Wendy went to watch it, Alex. I don't know what happened. The kindergarten teacher, Maggie Gyllenhaal, what do we know there?
So this is a new film. This actually debuted at TIFF, the Toronto International Film Festival. And it's about a school teacher who becomes obsessed with a child prodigy in her class. It's based on a 2014 Israeli film. Maggie Gyllenhaal is wonderful in it. But it plays out, it's not necessarily like a Dangerous Mind, she's mentoring somebody. Mm-hmm. Things so much as a thriller. And it, particularly if you're a parent, I recommend maybe giving this one a pass because it's very horrific to watch what happens without being a full-on horror movie. But again, fantastic performance from Maggie Gyllenhaal. Definitely a must-watch if you're a fan of her.
And what about, what's going on with Roseanne? What do we hear from Roseanne lately?
It finally starts this week, I think, right? Tuesday night?
Yeah, it is.
The Conners The Conners is coming on, the spinoff, without Roseanne, on Tuesday, October 16th at 8 p.m. That's going to be the debut of the show. We actually have a spoiler-free review will be going up on Decider later on today of the first two episodes, so definitely stay tuned to check that out. I can't really say much about what it is or how well it does right now, but suffice to say, from my perspective, everything that we've seen, it looks pretty good. I think the cast is good. They seem to have figured out a way to deal with Roseanne without Roseanne, and I'm honestly hopeful that the show will be good when it debuts on Tuesday.
I loved Roseanne, the reboot.
Oh, sure.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed in her, and I hope I like it, and I hope people like it, because it would be great if this could be successful without
sure.
her.
Yeah.
Yeah, as one of my writers, Brett White, pointed out, you have a sitcom with John Goodman, Laurie Metcalf, and Sarah Gilbert in the cast. Forgetting about the Roseanne thing, those are fantastic actors that you would watch in almost anything. So
true.
There's every chance this could be good.
There's so many aspects I'm curious about, but this is ridiculous. But truly, I'm betting against myself. You know how they would do in the opening credits? They would kind of do that round camera move around the table, and it would end with Roseanne's cackle. So do they do mm-hmm. something to replace the cackle? Do they keep the cackle in? Do they leave it silent? I'm on pins and needles.
Well, she
Alex.
Will die, so it's probably
it's
instead
more
of the cackle.
Oh, all right, good.
I think they need to do a remake of the Leftovers credits and just have an empty space where
yes.
she goes.
Oh. Now we're talking. Oh, that'd be great.
I can't wait to see it. I really hope it's good. Although, in my opinion, she was the center of that show.
Of course.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Based on the pics that they sent out about the first episode, nothing good for John Goodman. Every single picture of him and every bit of footage is just him being sad and lying down. And I don't know. It's going to be a little bit of a slog at first, but I think it should be definitely interesting to watch.
Dan Conner loved his Rosie girl. He
no
really
question.
Did.
Yeah.
So,
Alex, always fun to talk to you. Thank you so much. Hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again. And not next week. I think we're off next week. We're doing a remote. But in 2 weeks.
All right. Sounds good. Looking forward to it, guys.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank
Alexander
you.
Zalbin, managing editor of Decider.com. We'll take a quick break, then get you some news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.